I was born in 1956, as I said a moment ago. And since I was born, I have been hearing from my parents and the people, from the people around me, that Cyprus is a country where the clashes have always been carried on the island. In 1958, when I was 1.5 years old, my parents used to tell me that when I was 1.5 years old, 1958, the clashes between two communities, between the British army here, we were taken by my father to the Famagusta, the bigger city, in order to, protect us. So, since I was born, that means that since I was born, we have always been through those clashes, problems, and lots of things which I consider that we couldn't set up a good relation between Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots. We couldn't place the relationship, a good neighborhood relationships between us. We couldn't protect us anyway from the maybe fanatics of the effects of fanatics of other side. So when I come to 17, 18 years of age, I just completed my secondary education in Famagusta in 1974. The Turkish invasion started at that time. Before that, in the very small village, we were about 100 people, from youngest to oldest in Marathi. Yeah, 100 people, just Turkish Cypriots. We had Sandalaris and Alo, two other very small Turkish villages as well, next to each other. And altogether, the population was 200. Three villages, 200 people living there. And we were surrounded by the Greek Cypriot villages, that we had very good relations with those people. We had to. We had no other chance, no other choice. We had animals, we were milking animals, we were giving our milk to the cooperative in the Greek village. We were harvesting our, the wheat and flour, whatever we harvest, and we gave it to the, again, cooperatives of Greek Cypriots. And this was how it worked there at the time. So we had very good relations with lots of people. We knew each other. We used to go there and shop. Every time. From that time up to now, I cannot reason why those things happened and why nobody have arisen to protect the Turkish people, or in some places. Turkish people didn't do the same thing for the for their Greek Cypriot neighbors. At that day, of course, again the Greek Cypriots from our neighbor village came to Marathi and took us to their village as prisoners. The first day of invasion, 20th of July. They were using the excuse that there are some Greek Cypriots as prisoners in Turkish army, so in the hands of Turkish army, so they have to keep us as, for the exchange at some time. Okay, that's understandable. but they gathered all the people, even the women and the children as well. And we argued a lot to convince them to let women and children go back to the villages. I mean, then we used to think that at least they are safe. They are at home. So whatever would happen, it would happen for us. I mean, I don't want to carry on the story in the details. I had two sisters, two brothers, my father and mother. My mother, two sisters and two brothers were sent to the village back. Okay. And we have been taken to the Garoulos camp in Famagusta. That was a military camp. And then on the day of second invasion, that was the 14th of August, we have been taken to the Limassol. At that day, the big atrocity has been experienced in our village. We didn't know that at the time. They took us in the lorries. We knew that the Turkish army was moving, but there was no indication that the women and children in our village would be massacred at the time. We learned it lately when I was in Limassol. Me and my father, of course, were in Limassol, and I heard it in Limassol. There were two people who were talking to each other, two people that I don't know them. Apparently they had a radio, a small transistor radio in the camp that they used to listen to the Bayrak or whatever, yeah, in the north. They used to talk to each other, and they were talking about a massacre that has been taken in those small villages, I couldn't understand it very well, but I tend to ask what they are talking about, and they somehow understood that I am one of those villagers, and they denied. I said, well, no, there's nothing happened, you are wrong. Those are the news that you cannot keep them under the, you see, they come in light very soon, as it happened when we were there. We learned that, yes, some nasty things happened. They killed the people, they killed the children. How many? Are they killed everyone? Are there some people who are still living? And I spent 72 days in Limassol camp. Perhaps about 1 month or 40 days I kept thinking of who is living, who has died, without knowing exactly what has happened. My mother, two sisters, two brothers were at the village, and they were subject to anything might happen there. So we spent 24 days in Garoulos, 72 days, I mean altogether 96 days or something. It was my turn to be exchanged. We were taken to Nicosia. My father had been released a month ago, I mean, from me. So I insist on him that inform me whatever has happened in the village through the United Nations, but we had some contacts but no information. I mean, what could have he written or so? I mean, you get in the mood that, yeah, something really bad happened there, but you still need to keep the hope that at least one of your brothers or sisters is alive, or your mother is alive, or anyone. And when I got back here, of course my father hugged me, and he burst in cries, tears, and I understood that everything is gone. At that year, I graduated from secondary school. I sat for the university entrance examinations, and my main ambition is to be a veterinary surgeon. Why? Because of our livelihood in our garden. We had cows, sheep, and goats, and everything, and I really liked them, and I really wanted to be a veterinary surgeon to improve, I mean, to make a better farming or whatever. So, and when I got back, the university entrance exam results were ready. My father has given me the card, saying that I won the veterinary surgery. But there was no people. There was no even people, not the animals at the village. So, I mean, yeah, I carried on studying veterinary surgery, because my father said me that, okay, I mean, in these conditions, in this situation, I don't believe that you can manage, but just try, go. It's a different atmosphere, you will find different friends, well, it might be good for you to be there. And I took his word and I went to Istanbul. I think it was the end of October that I was released from the camp in 1974. In the first week of November, I was in Istanbul. I was trying to enroll, I was trying to make my registration to the university. They were saying to me, you are too late, it's finished, go back. And I explained them that we were going undergoing through that this and that situation, so I accepted and made my registration, and I carried on. The reason I could manage to finish complete my studies, my wife actually, because I engaged in the first year with a girl from Limassol that I met her father and the siblings in the camp, in the same room with me, and I met her late in Kerinya, and we married lately. She has been a motivation, a good motivation for me to carry on, because she was going to be a teacher. And I used to think, okay, she's going to be a teacher, what are you going to be? And if you leave the school, then... I mean, that's been a good motivation for me. And, of course, the atmosphere that I was in Istanbul, was also encouraging for carrying on the study. I had lots of friends, a very good environment there. So I became a veterinary surgery. But of course, at that time, when I completed my study at 80, 1980, and at that time in our side, there were no pets. People were not having cats or dogs or things like that. And only veterinary services that were belong to government were giving service to the people who had the animals. I mean, I applied there, but I was a communist. That was the reason they said. Because, yes, I have been in the front of the student movement in Istanbul. I have always fought against the hatredness, against the racism, against the atrocities, and I've always been in the struggle for reuniting the Cyprus. You are an unwanted person. They didn't give me any position in the government. So, I mean, I shifted because my wife was a teacher. I shifted to teaching. I made my master's degree, PhD, and I'm a teacher now. There was no chance for me to keep me away from Cyprus. My wife was here. My memories are here, and the friends, the people in Istanbul that we were fighting for a purpose, for an aim, are all here. So, I mean, of course, when you first learn, I mean, my position a bit different from other people. I mean, the people who have missings in their families have a completely different psychology, different mood. I can understand them because they still don't know are they killed or are they living. There are lots of rumors coming here and there. And I saw him living in Ankara, for Greek Cypriots, for example, or Istanbul. He married someone. There are lots of rumors like this. But we knew 10 days later, the massacre, that they found the people. So we know where they are. We know where they were buried. A statue was also made for them. So, I mean, you are finished. You know them, they are there. Okay. Of course, the first days, you are furious, you are in great anger. For whom? For those people who committed those crimes. But I myself have always, I could manage to differentiate, not to blame the Greek Cypriots as a whole. I never believed that a nation could be wholly bad or good. That was my conscious at that time, but I'm still very angry for those people who committed. Doesn't matter whether those guys are Turkish Cypriot or Greek Cypriot. I mean, they shouldn't die without getting any punishment. At least they should come up and say sorry of whatever they have done to these two communities. But lately my reaction turned to something else. I found out that we have to struggle against those things. and we have to struggle to find a peace on this island. Otherwise, our children, our grandchildren, and their children will be subjected any problem at any time if we cannot find a solution to the status problem. But of course, nowadays it's not very much promising, unfortunately. I'm not very much excited of what's going on the intercommunal talks at the moment.
You know, before 1974, what happened? I mean, all
I was about 7 or 8 years old. But okay, yeah. I mean, at that time, of course, I was not at the age to identify things or make everything clear in my mind. But later on, you hear things, you study, read. I mean, you are told some things, particularly in schools. It's always been the one-sided narrations. So you get some idea until you reached to a certain point of age and understand. I mean, if you are willing to understand of what's happened in the Cyprus. And it is always said that in our circles, it is always said that it is the imperialism to blame. I do not deny that. I can reject that. But I also say that we Cypriots couldn't find a way to protect ourselves, to protect our neighbors, against any fanatical movements, any irrelative ideologies. I mean, the TMT in Turkish side, EOKA, VIDA particularly in south, has influenced, they have influenced the community lives, and unfortunately they reached their aim and divided the island at the moment. This is very sad to say, but that will not be very easy to make it reverse, to reverse it, to make it otherwise.
Why?
The only power that we have now is intercommunal talks. And in the very recently, we had two progressive leaders of power. But I mean, I myself believe that they will manage to do something at least better. That could have reached to some point to reach the solution, but you can see now where are we? Nobody knows. We are almost nowhere, because with Erolu in our side, you do not have any way to go to, any path to follow. I don't know.
What is the problem? Why do you think Cyprus has always been like this? So it started with conflicts and now we don't know where we are? Have you
Well, as I said, I mean, there are some circles insisting on the influence of the fact of the imperialism, the British colonialism, or whatever, United States imperialism. But the main thing, I think, is the ideologies. The Greek Cypriots had an ideology to be united with Greece. They call it Enosis. And Turkish Cypriots, against that, had an idea of making at least, perhaps they knew that they don't have the chance to unite the Cyprus to the Turkey, but at least to partition, to reach third partition, to divide it, and have the half of the Cyprus. Those two ideologies played a very important role for me, and we are at this point, at the moment. We don't have any powerful weapons to fight against that.
You mean weapons?
Not that weapons. Not the literal weapons, but is that because I observe that most of the Greek Cypriots are not ready to share the power with Turkish Cypriots. I mean, the number of Greek Cypriots is very rare who can accept a Turkish Cypriot as a president of the United Cyprus, whatever they call it. Okay. On the other hand, there are lots of Turkish Cypriots that are very happy of getting the Greek Cypriots' properties. And just pretending that those properties are their properties. They own them because they shed blood and they conquered. You see? So, in both sides, there are great problems. Those are they ideologic? They are not always ideological problems, but the interests. There are sometimes interests are very far apart from each other. That's why I somehow lost my excitement of reaching a solution, of finding a peace here. I mean, are we in the peace conditions? I don't think that we are living in peace conditions. Unless we reach a solution, an agreement, a concrete agreement, we are not in the peace. But there is always a possibility that we can face problems with each other.
What would be a good solution, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the Annan plan for me was a good chance for the communities. We missed it because there are very big players. Turkey, for example. I'm not sure if Turkey will come to the same point as she was during 2004, and announced 2004. Yeah. I'm trying to follow the politics there, and I can understand that they are playing the time. They are. They are playing a game, actually, a blaming game, maybe. A Greek Cypriots or the Greek side, or Greece is guilty. We are trying our best, we are doing our best, we are one step forward always, and they are not coming to any settlement. So at least I can say that we are not at the position of 2004 at the Annan's plan period. It's getting worse now. It's getting worse now. They make the problem unsolvable. I mean, every day, if you followed, I don't know if you followed, but some time ago, the Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan was in the north. Okay. A month ago, or something, yeah. And he was giving a speech and saying that you Turkish Cypriots, you do not give birth as much as I want you to give, okay? So I will send you more people to get to the population of the Greek Cypriots. Okay, what he's doing is trying to make the populations similar, to equalize, if you like, the populations. And this is a real danger for Cyprus. And every day you can see by a naked eye that those people in population are increasing, and we don't know our population. We don't know how many we are as Turkish Cypriots, original Turkish Cypriots. So this is, this is making the situation get worse and worse every day. I can say that. And I fear of that, of course. I scare of it. To a level of age, I went to Famagusta, to Namakemalisa. That was the second day. All Turkish Cypriots as well. Turkish, yes. Yes, we had English lessons, French lessons, as foreign languages. We didn't have any mixed school in that area. There were other places that they had mixed schools, perhaps up to 1960s, I don't know. After that, they separated, I think, they separated. There were mixed villages up to 74. I know some villages that I really admire them for protecting each other. There is a village called Lapetos, that's not Lapta. This is Lapetos, a different Lapetos in Famagusta district. They were a mixed village. What is that? There is a Dali. Dali in south, that was close to Bodonia. And those villages protected each other. I mean, in Lapetos, when Greek Cypriots came, the Greek Cypriot villages stood up and said that now those Turkish Cypriots are our villagers, our neighbors. We cannot touch them unless you kill us.
Were you affected when the coup, the military coup in Greece happened? Mm-hmm. Were you affected?
That was on 15th of July, and you see, 5 days later. That was the excuse of the Turkish invasion anyway. Yeah. I remember that in our village, people were very anxious about it. They didn't know what's going to happen with them. I mean, now, okay, Greek Cypriots are fighting with each other. This is something in between Greek Cypriots, but what's going to happen? Because Nikos Samson was a very well known guy at that time. Turkish Cypriots know him from the Kaymakli. Nobody was trusting him, and everyone was in a great anxiety. I mean, it took only 5 days anyway, and then Turkish invasion came in effect. So, about Makarios, in Turkish Cypriots, Makarios is known as a very clever man, that he would make enosis slowly, okay, by making Turkish Cypriots leave the island, because at those years there were lots of Turkish Cypriots who were fleeing away to London, Australia, or Turkey. Yeah, there are lots of Turkish Cypriots in those places. And people in our side believe that Makarios was clever. He was, if he was given the chance, if Grivas, because, you know, Grivas had a very dramatic, very sharp solutions. If Makarios was given the chance, enough time, then he would manage to have the Turkish Cypriots get away, so the islands would be all Greek. this is what Turkish Cypriots believe about Makarios. Now we can learn lots of things about Makarios from the books of Makarios Dourishotis or other people. The good leaders in Turkish side were either assassinated, killed, or made to leave the country. All the leaders that the Turkish Cypriots have or had at that time was national fanatics. Okay. I mean, the Denktaş is a bit more clever than the Grivas. That's it. Because he was educated in London, in England. He was a bit more clever, that's it. We have set up an initiative of bicommunal initiative for missing people and those victims of war in 1963 and 74. And we found out that our pain is common, and unless we share our pain, that will not relieve. So we are visiting some places, we are visiting villages, we are visiting schools, and in an effort to make people understand the history, that no one is innocent on this island, or it is not possible to blame Greeks or Turkish Cypriots or Turkish side only. We all are, at least our parents, our older people are responsible for what have happened in those places. You see, it's still amazing that the students that you meet at schools do not believe you. And when you say that my family has been massacred in Marathi by Greek Cypriots, they cannot believe it. Why? Because they have been taught that Greeks are pure, innocent nation, and they cannot do. And there are lots of Turkish Cypriot students in our side. At that time, after 30, 40 years, over the clashes in 74, and there are still, you can find still people that they cannot believe that Greek Cypriots or Turkish Cypriots committed those crimes. So, we still have a very long path, very long way to go.